We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraw, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. And that's the goal of this program. To learn more about Pastor Jeff and the ministry of Brave, visit our website at bravepastorjeff.com. There you'll find full sermons and other resources to equip you to be a brave warrior. And if you'd like to give a gift to keep programs like this one going strong, you can do that as well. The website again is bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff concludes his message, Arrogant Expert or Humble Servant, from the series Stronger, showing you why Paul urges us to leave judgment to the Lord and focus on serving Christ. Now, here's today's program.
I need to get around this kind of person or I won't grow in Christ. Because if I'm only around this kind of person, what? What are you saying? You're saying my job of making judgment calls about other ministries is how it affects me. And what affects you is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not anybody else. Notice what he goes on to say in verse 6. I mean, it gets pretty far. I like Paul because he's sarcastic a little bit. Right? I mean, he's talking to this carnal church, this group of Christians who are living completely for themselves and selfishly. And here's what he says. For who regards you as superior? I mean, the English translation or colloquialism would probably be translated like this. Who do you think you are? Like, who was it that told you that you were a somebody? Because I know it wasn't me. Like, why do you think so highly of yourselves? Why are you so inflated? Now, let me be clear on this. Through our identity in Christ and who we are, God says some amazing things about us, right? We're holy. We already are. We're forgiven. We already are. We're declared righteous. We already are. We're forgiven. We already are. We're adopted. We already are. We're sons and daughters of the King. We're all those things. But let me be clear on one point. We're only those things because of our belief in the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the blood, we are nothing. What the Corinthians were saying is, it doesn't matter whether we have God or not, we're pretty awesome people. I mean, we got these truths nailed down. We're fantastic, right? This is who we are. And Paul's like, who told you you were superior? Now, let me tell you something about arrogant people. It's not just that they consider themselves better, it's that they consider themselves at all. Those who are arrogant, who's the first person they think about? It's themselves. What does God teach us to do? Love God and love others. Serve God and serve others. Steward our resources from God to others, right? Who are we not to think about? Ourselves. What do arrogant people always do? They always consider themselves. They're always making comparisons, right? And that's really the litmus test. Like if you wanna say, well, how do I know if I'm arrogant or not? Here's how you know, okay? This is how you know. If you're comparing yourself to other people, you're arrogant. Did you hear what I said? If you compare yourself to other people, you're arrogant, okay? It means it's very possible if you compare yourself to certain people, you're always gonna feel less than. But if you're comparing yourself to other people and feeling less than and feeling like they're great and I'm not, that's arrogance. Why? Because you're focusing on yourself. There's certain people you can probably compare yourself to in certain categories where you come out a little better than them in your own mind. What's that? That's pride. That's arrogance too. Insecurity and pride are just cousins on opposite sides of the spectrum. If you find yourself comparing yourself to others, you're arrogant. Did you know God doesn't ask you to compare yourself to anybody else other than himself? I mean, Jesus Christ is the only comparison. Compare yourself to Jesus and then see how you're doing, because you'll feel like a slave, right? And you'll realize I'm a nobody, but I'm deeply loved by that somebody, right? That's the beauty of the whole thing. God doesn't ask us to compare. As a pastor, I mean, I'm sure, I don't do it, but I'm sure I can compare myself to other pastors, I mean, and feel like I'm lousy. I'm horrible. I'm sure there's probably other pastors I can compare myself to and say, nah, I'm a little bit better than that. I mean, why do that? Either way, what am I doing? I'm arrogant because God didn't ask me to compare myself to anybody else. Who's God say? Hey, Jeff, will you be my servant and will you just be on my team and will you just serve the way I want you to serve? That's all he cares about and that's all he cares about with you. Comparison kills a church. It's arrogant. And that's what arrogant people do. They compare themselves. And because we're prideful, we always come out better than whoever we compare ourselves to. Right? We'll eventually find people that aren't as good so we can feel better about ourselves. Jesus says, hey, just compare yourself to me. Paul says, who told you you were superior? I don't remember telling you that. And what do you have that you did not receive? Isn't that a great question for you this morning? What do you have you didn't receive? Name one thing this morning you have that you didn't receive. I mean, can we just talk about some of them? I mean, everything good in your life, according to James 1:17, is a gift from God. We don't view them as gifts. We're so entitled sometimes we don't think about them that way. But think about this. Some of you would say, well, no, you don't get it. I earned it. I run my own business. I'm super successful. I make a ton of money. Okay. Who gave you that gift? Nobody. I earned it. How did you earn it? I got a great education. Hey, who gave you the mind for the education that you got? Hey, who provided the money for the education you got? I did. I got a job. Who gave you the dedication and the heart and the passion? Who are the people God put in your life that loved you and surrounded you to get you to that place? Who is the team that works on your team that if they all left, you wouldn't even run a business because there'd be nobody there? Who's the one that's brought everything around? It's God. Everything you have is from God. If you have a job, it's from God. Well, I don't make as much money as so-and-so. You know, it's comparison. I have a job. See, when you're thankful for what you have, this great word comes that we Americans are unfamiliar with. I may need to define it for you. It's called contentment. Amen. It's a word we really haven't heard or applied a lot. It means I'm satisfied in what I have. I don't need to put more on credit. I'm not looking around for what somebody else, I'm content. Thank you, God, for the job I have. Thank you, God, for the people I get to work with. Thank you, Lord, for providing for me. See, when you see everything in your life as a gift, what has happened? You become thankful. Thankful. Think about this. Your family, it's a gift. If you're married, your spouse is a gift. If you come to this church is a gift. Your pastor is a gift. Your kids are a gift. Your money and all your possessions that you have are gifts. Any friendships that you have are gifts. Any skill sets that you have are gifts. Everything good in your life's a gift. So God wants us to be like, hey, God, thank you so much for that gift. Thank you, God, for what you've done in my life. And can I just add a word here? If your gift has a heartbeat, if your gift is a person, why not tell them how thankful you are for them? Parents, do your kids know how thankful you are for them? My kids hear me say it all the time. Out of all the kids in the whole world, you're my favorite three kids. And if I could only have three, you would be the three I would choose. I tell my son all the time, if I could choose any boy in the world, you're the only one I would choose. I tell my daughters, if I could only choose two girls, you're the only ones I would choose. They know. My wife is a gift. Right? If I could choose any woman in the world, I would choose you. Do it all over again, I'd choose you. I tell her that all the time. Right? See, some of us don't think that the things in our life are gifts. Like we get married and we're like, I need a gift, right? But we don't realize what the gift is for. Like, I don't feel as happy as I did before I got the gift. You know, part of the gift is to grow you in your character into what God wants you to be. So thank him for the growth in character that you get because of the gifts that he's given to you. But I didn't get enough money. That's a gift because God is teaching you reliance and dependence upon him in a way that you didn't have to before. Do you see what I'm saying here? Everything you have is a gift. Now, if you're arrogant, you're going to compare your gift and say, well, they got to marry them and they have this kind of house and they have this kind of money and they drive this kind of car. And that's comparison. That's what arrogant people do. Humble people are content and see everything as a gift from God, saying, God, I don't deserve anything other than to be a slave. The fact that I even got to eat today is a blessing. Thank you for that. The fact that you allow me to come to church is a blessing. Thank you for that. The friendships in my life are a blessing. Everything I have is a blessing. I'm telling you, when you start to live more thankfully, you'll see more of God at work in your life. What do you have that you didn't receive? And then Paul goes on to say, and if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? See, arrogant people will always boast about their accomplishments because they don't realize the reason that they're accomplished is because God's gifted them with their accomplishments, right? I mean, if you have a skill set and you're really good in the business world at making decisions, who gave you that skill set? Hey, God, thank you. You know what? God just gifted me to do this work, right? I mean, if you're really good at relationships, God really gifted you to do that work. If you're really good at encouragement, guess who? God gifted you to do that work, right? Do you see what I'm saying? And everything is a gift from God that he wants you to steward for his name's sake.
You're listening to Brave. And today, Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Arrogant Expert or Humble Servant, from the series Stronger, showing you why Paul urges us to leave judgment to the Lord and focus on serving Christ. We'll return to his teaching in a moment, but before we do, we want to help you be prepared to go boldly against the flow of culture and unapologetically take a stand for kingdom values. And we invite you to become a Brave Warrior today by signing up for emails from Pastor Jeff. You'll get exclusive first look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to bravepastorjeff.com to sign up. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Now, let's return to Pastor Jeff and hear more of today's Bible teaching.
And if you're a slave and say, God, I don't care where you take me, where you lead me, what you do, I'll be content in that. And I'll just be a steward of the gospel you've invested in my heart to live it and let other people know that you are the Lord. You can be so content no matter what your circumstances are. Yep. Right? That's what he's telling the Corinthians. This carnally minded group of people, they see themselves more spiritual than others. I got this thing figured out. I've read through the Bible 36 times. I know it all. You ever been around somebody like that? They're not fun. They're not fun. And if Jesus had any problem in his life with a group of people, there were a group of people like that, where he would say things like this: you diligently study the scriptures because you think in them you have life, yet these scriptures are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I wrote the book. You're excited, you're reading it. I wrote it. I'm the author standing right in front of you, and you don't even recognize me as the author. Humble people recognize Jesus as the author. Humble people were bowed before him as the author. Humble people said, you're the Lord and I'm a nothing, and I'm just so glad because I feel like I'm a someone when I'm around you. Isn't that awesome? See, that's what Paul's telling the Corinthians. He says, when it comes to yourselves, don't consider yourselves. Don't even think about yourselves. You know what? Recognize that everything you have, everything in your life is a gift from the Lord, and be thankful to God for what he's given to you. And then he says this. He says, hey, if we focus now on how we view other people's ministry and how we view ourselves, then what's the application? Like, how are we gonna live? Are we gonna live as humble servants, or are we gonna live as arrogant experts? And he says this, that arrogant experts, here's what they do, the arrogant, they avoid pain and they snub those who suffer. Arrogant people will always avoid pain and snub those who suffer, but humble servants willingly suffer for the sake of others and patiently endure for the sake of Christ, okay? Now, where do you get that from? I get it right from the Bible. He says in verse 8, I mean, he's totally being sarcastic here, right? He's saying, you are already filled. You have already become rich. You have already become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we might also reign with you. What is he saying? He's like, you're acting like you're kings of the world. Hey, did Jesus come back and I didn't get the memo yet? Hey, I mean, I wish he had come back so we'd all be reigning with him, but why do you act as though you have it all together? Why do you live your life as if you figured out this whole Christian life? Why are you being so arrogant still? That's what he's saying. In verse 9, he says this, for I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all as men condemned to death because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. Now in Ephesians 5, it talks about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers to equip God's saints for the work of ministry. So sometimes we read that like apostles were way up and then there was prophets. What does Paul say? Apostles are last of all. He goes, here's how I view myself, as men condemned to death because we have become a spectacle to the world. Now, in the first century, when a Roman general won a battle and would come back to his hometown, he would come back in with all of his major military heroes along with him, and there would be this huge train of parade, and at the very back of the parade would be all the prisoners that would be shackled, and they would be bound in chains, getting ready to be thrown to the gladiators or the lions or whatever. And Paul's saying, as an apostle for Jesus, as his servant, and as a steward of him, this is how I feel every day when I wake up. I feel like I'm bound and shackled in the world on display for God and all the ministering spirits and angels to watch what I'm doing, knowing that I'm a man condemned to die only for the sake of the gospel. And yet y'all think of yourself as kings. Is there a problem here? See, humble servants, if you're a humble servant, you will get to a place where you will want to utter these words at some point in time. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I don't mean out of such despair that you're just a miserable person and you got all these psychological problems. I just mean when you're living for God in a world that's hostile towards God, there will come a point in your life where you come. Like, you know, this afternoon, I mean, I know I got lunch scheduled, but beyond that, I mean, if you can come, I mean, I could even cancel my lunch plans if you wanted to get back. I'm really cool with that, right? I mean, that's the heart behind what Paul is saying. It says in verse 10, for we are, notice the comparison here between how Paul sees himself and how the Corinthians see themselves. We are fools for Christ's sakes, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. What's he saying? Hey, you view yourself as prudent and wise, and you view yourself as strong, and you view yourself as distinguished. Here's how we view ourselves. We view ourselves as fools in the world who are weak and who are without honor. What's the problem here? Paul is basically saying, when you're a servant to the Lord and when you're humble before the Lord, that's oftentimes how you feel. And what does the Bible say? For where we are weak, there he is strong. He goes on to say, to this present hour, notice his heart. We are both hungry and thirsty. He's got physical needs. And we're poorly clothed, which means he doesn't shop at Nordstrom's, and are roughly treated inside and outside the church, both emotionally and physically. And we're homeless. And you know what we do as a result of that? And we toil, working with our own hands. We work really hard. And when we're reviled and people say mean things about us, we bless them. And when we're persecuted, hey, we endure. And when we're slandered, we try to conciliate, which means we encourage. What's he saying? He says, we're trying to live like Jesus. See, here's the trouble with arrogant, carnal Christians. They've bought a lie that says this. Once you become a Christian, here's the goal of the Christian faith, to live a problem-free, challengeless life that's all about you for your glory and your personal satisfaction. In other words, I've become a Christian and now I expect God to give me a very comfortable life. Can I tell you what that's called? It's a lie. It's a lie. It's just a lie. Anybody that's teaching that is a liar. It's a false prophet. It's a lie. Why? Because if that were true, then Jesus really screwed up. If that were true, then Paul really screwed up. If that's true, then the 11 disciples, other than Judas Iscariot, really screwed up. Why? Because they gave their entirety of their life to suffering and death for the sake of the gospel. Isn't that what Jesus did? I mean, would anybody want to trade life with Jesus? I mean, did he have an easy street? Did Paul have an easy street? Did any of the disciples have an easy street? No, and let me just tell you something else. Because sometimes in church, when you're told that lie, you begin to think that if you're going through something difficult, that something's wrong with you. Like if you're really discouraged or you're depressed, maybe you need medication. Maybe you sinned against God. Maybe you did something that was wrong. Can I tell you how I would handle depression about 25 years ago? Somebody would come up to me and say, man, I'm just really going through a tough time. I'm just thoroughly discouraged and depressed. You know what I would have said to them? I mean, I probably would have had like, I don't know, somewhere between probably 15 and 30 seconds for him, which would have looked something like this. I'm sorry. You know, why don't you start working out or something? Or maybe you could just like, I don't know, get a hobby that you like. Or, I mean, buck up. It's okay. Quit feeling sorry for yourself. That's probably how I would have handled it 25 years ago. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you depressed? Life's good. Come up to me now and say, hey, I'm discouraged and I'm feeling depressed. You know, I'd say to you, I totally get it. Hey, do you know that there's not a week of my life that goes by pretty much where there's not a significant time frame during that week where I feel thoroughly discouraged in everything that I'm doing? And what I've found is over time is that's very normative for a Christian. And every Christian autobiography that I've ever read talks about major discouragement and depression for many of the finest servants used by God. Hey, perhaps you're feeling discouraged because you're doing everything that God wants you to do. Have you ever considered that? See the difference? See, when you've been through something, what happens? You begin to realize that you're willing to suffer for the sake of others and patiently endure for the sake of Christ, right? But if not, you're gonna try to do everything you can to avoid pain, and you'll look down or snub others that are going through something like, I know why they're going through that. They totally are going, they made a bad decision there. And I don't have time for that. I mean, I've even watched people over the last 25 years and they'll go through something that was really hard and God will surround people around them and they'll get through that circumstance. They'll get through that. They'll be grateful for the people that were in their life. And then they'll have a similar circumstance to a friend that has the same thing happen to them. And you know what will go off in their heart? I don't have time for that right now. I'm too busy. They shouldn't have allowed that to happen to themselves, and they'll move on. And I think, what? Don't you remember what people did for you? Right, that's what Paul's talking about here. And what's he saying? He's saying, hey, the gospel's really hard work. It's really hard work physically. We don't get enough to eat. We work hard with our hands. It's really hard emotionally because people are always saying bad things about us. And it's really hard because they persecute us. And here's what we do. I just want you to know, when people say bad things about us, we bless them. Hey, when people persecute us, we endure for the sake of Christ. Hey, when people slander us, we do our best job to encourage other people. That's just what we do. Why do we do that? Because we're servants of Jesus and we want to act like him. Can I be encouragement to all of you who are enduring patiently for the sake of Christ? Way to go. Way to go. See, it's arrogant to think they have everything together. When John pens a book of Revelation, and he begins it by talking to seven churches in the book of Revelation, one of the most familiar churches that we're familiar with is the church of Laodicea, found in Revelation chapter 3. And in that book, he tells them this. He's like, I know your deeds, but you are neither hot nor cold, and I wish that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. What was he saying? He was saying in Laodicea, what was going on in that church was in that city, the way water got fed to that city was via aqueduct. And when hot water came for bathing, by the time it got there, it was warm. It wasn't good for bathing anymore. It was just warm. Hey, when cold water started getting channeled through for a cool drink, by the time it got there, what was it? It was warm. I mean, the water in Laodicea, it was good for nothing. And God was telling him, that's kind of how I see you, church. Why did he see him that way? Verse 17 tells us in Revelation chapter 3, because you say, I am rich and I have become wealthy and I have need of nothing. Why are they good for nothing? Because they have no need for God. They have no desire to be his servants or stewards. We got this whole God thing figured out. And here's what God says about them. But you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You think you got it all figured out? Let me tell you something. You are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Why? Because you haven't come to me. You're living the Christian life on your own. That's what he's saying to them. And he's telling them in that church, hey, come to me. Come to me. Let me refresh you. Let me be the one. And I don't know about you. I don't know where you land on the spectrum. I don't know where you are. But the good news is this. No matter where you are, God wants to do a work in you. When you see a true disciple of Christ, it's kind of like what John the Baptist told Jesus in John 3:30. He must increase. I must what? I must decrease. He must become greater, I must become less. Jesus said in John 15:20, hey, no servant's above his master. If they persecuted me, what will they do to you? They'll persecute you. Hey, church, can I just tell you something? Just because you're going through trials or sufferings or sickness or difficulties doesn't mean that you're necessarily doing anything wrong. It very well may mean that you're doing everything right. Did some of you need to hear that today? Yeah, sometimes we come into church and we look down on people and we snub them like, well, they're probably going through that because they got deep sin in their life. What are we doing? Judging motives? No, maybe they're going through that because they're more faithful than you. Did you ever consider that? And isn't it true that what we would say when we go through trials and persecutions and sufferings and all those kind of things, that that's where God builds our character? That's where God begins to change us. And as we walk through it, we look back and like, I would have never chosen that circumstance, that circumstance, that circumstance, or that circumstance. But if I were thinking about the rocks in my life that were most important, it was those things that grew me in Christ. That's why Paul finishes with his humility by saying this, we have become the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. How do we view ourselves? We're just scum. We're nobody. We have everything in Christ, but the way the world sees us is different. And isn't that true of us? See, what God wants to do in our hearts is he wants to do a work and he wants to say this, hey, stop judging other people's motives. Don't worry about them. I got them taken care of. Trust me, I got it. And hey, don't even consider yourselves. Don't compare yourselves to other people, okay? I made you just the way I made you to be, just who you need to be. And oh, by the way, if that's who you're gonna be, hey, this life may be rough. You may go through rough patches. You may go through difficulties. You're gonna go through circumstances you didn't expect, but that's all normal as part of the gospel. So welcome it in your life and keep walking with me. Isn't that good news? That's how we become stronger. That's how we lift up the name of Jesus because he's the one that carries us through it.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Arrogant Expert or Humble Servant, from the series Stronger, showing you why Paul urges us to leave judgment to the Lord and focus on serving Christ. Your support keeps this program going out to people across the nation, challenging them to boldly fight for the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our lifetime. To give a gift of support today, go to bravepastorjeff.com. Before you go, we want to invite you to visit Brave Church at any of our campuses, Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.